First, you have an opportunity to give your testimony. Please keep it short, maybe a sentence or two, so that everyone who has, who wants to, can give their testimony. Let's sing together.
Restore my life totally and my family.
He renews me.
I didn't get what I deserve, I got grace. Hey, let's sing that second verse. No more we tremble at the grave.
No more we tremble at the grave.
Thank you. but when she used to go to the lake, she would always think, I don't know if she meant to make
No, it's a black one.
And see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell. He has risen from the dead. He is going ahead of you. The living Jesus has gone ahead of you. He is with you. Old Colonel Gillespie wrote his book, The 100 Portraits of Christ. We could stay here 100 days and we could have a different view, a different look at Jesus every day. But in our worship times together, just these three times to sing and to pray and to request together as a Salvation Army group, we've thought about Jesus, the teacher on the Mount of Beatitudes. He is a reliable guide. He is our master teacher. We can have all kinds of teachers and read all kinds of books and attend all kinds of seminars. We all need to hear the word of the Lord and have a sense that the risen Jesus himself is teaching us and leading us, guiding us from day to day. He fulfills in us his perfect law. He corrects and reshapes our attitudes. Don't let anyone ever tell you that God doesn't intend to change your personality or to change you in certain ways. I believe that even that God and the work of his Holy Spirit even changes our DNA. If our DNA has been that we would be a person who's addicted or a person who's, that behaves in certain ways that might not be very positive, science might tell you that it's in your DNA. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit changed your DNA. I believe his work is that deep in us that I'm just not the same person I was. 48 years ago when I gave my heart to the Lord. He's not the same person. Although my brother's recognized. in the garden tomb, we thought about Jesus as our resolute Savior. In our bus, Sippy has been repeating that he became flesh and dwelt among us. The passage starts in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus the Torah. Jesus the Word was in the very beginning. You know that John mimics the Genesis story. In the beginning was the Word. From the very beginning, the dawn of whatever we can imagine as the beginning, there was Jesus ready to be the Savior. And the plan was that old, that from the beginning. And there in Gethsemane, the plan became action. And he was resolute. He was determined. He would not go back. He would not turn away. He would pay the price. You go down in that dungeon that we were in just a few minutes ago, whether it's real or not. I said to somebody, if it were me, I would have been absolutely insane out of my mind. I can't imagine. But Jesus was resolute enough to be our Savior. Pass through that moment and give his life. And then here we come today, a victorious Savior, a triumphant Savior. This is a moment of joy. Before us we see the empty tomb. Again, Sippy has this little phrase, this is wow. Or wow, wow, wow.
Big wow.
Or it's a big wow. And that's her phrase. The previous tours I was on, the guides would say this is A spot where we know it's actually the spot, or it's a B maybe, or C it's just made up, and you know the idea is there, this may not be the tomb, but the idea of resurrection is right in the forefront of our mind. And so we can't one just think that Easter's coming for us when we get to this. So this is a double Easter this year. See here. And then hope. And of course for us, every day is about resurrection. Every day is new life in Christ. So we just so for us to stay up to tune, the biggest wow. I want to say to you is the message this morning. The tomb is empty.
Yes.
But my thoughts and my mind are full. My thoughts and my mind are full of hope because of Christ. I'm filled because of Christ. The tomb is empty, but my thoughts and my mind are full of hope and good thoughts and bright thoughts and joyous thoughts. A gospel song, an old gospel song, begins with this question. Why should I feel discouraged? The poet continues and begs the answer in his song. The answer he begs or wants is always a hopeful, positive answer. Why should I be discouraged when I walk with Jesus? I should never be discouraged, though it might rain while you're preaching, though it might be difficult in your life, though your children may make mistakes, though you may make mistakes, though your appointment may be difficult, whatever. We are not discouraged. When you belong to Jesus, you know it's always too early to quit. When you belong to Jesus, it's always too early to quit. Just think. If the disciples had quit, or if Jesus had quit the day before, when you belong to Jesus, it's always too early to quit. The tomb is empty, but my life is full of purpose and good news. Not just hope, but my life is full of purpose because this tomb is empty. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God in Christ was reconciling the world. Our lives have purpose because this tomb is empty. We have a reason to be, a purpose to be. We have a mission because this tomb is empty. Some of you have heard me use this illustration before. I'm sorry, I'm going to do it again. If by God's call, God had called me to be a master, that I was smart enough and gifted enough that I could have studied and become a heart surgeon. And I could be the best heart surgeon. People would come, and they would seek you out. And they would ask you to use your skill to help you. And if you have, do as our friend Grant had, six-way bypass, and restore, renew that heart in our friend. Or even a heart transplant. And the world would praise you. People would pat you on the back. You might even look for it. But you would be esteemed. And you would be given a valuable, honored service to people. But the sad thing for a heart surgeon is as he repairs that heart, transplants that heart, heals that, does his work on that heart, he knows that in the course of history, in a short time, this patient will die. That's the reality we all face. But just think what God has done with humble people like us, who don't have that skill, for whom in many communities and many places you are not highly regarded or highly honored. People love the Salvation Army, but it's not the same thing. But here we are, humble people. Ministry and the message of good news and reconciliation. And when people are saved in a Sunday school class or the summer camp or the little bench in front of a humble court, they are not too much. Or in the next week, joyful and thankful to be in God's service wherever you put us. You might be in a place that you would not choose to be, but your life is filled with good purpose. And we know that you are serving the Lord. The most important work in this world is saving souls. And that you are a doctor of the soul. The feelings that the risen Lord fills my life with faith, joy, what we call the fruit of following and living in the Spirit. The tomb is empty, but I am full of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That's the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus that comes on you. You will be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I will send you. Your life is full of hope and purpose and the fruit of his presence in your life. But that tomb is empty. We are hope everywhere. Thank you, Lord, for the filling of your Spirit, the presence of the living Jesus in you. Now, something we worship and we serve.
In the world today, I know that he is with whatever men.